It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back into another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. It is Thursday, January 11th, gearing up for a Saturday night wild card matchup against the Miami Dolphins, final day of Chiefs practice ahead, and plenty to get caught up on, but going to start in some unrelated Chiefs news. So let me welcome in the leader of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. Sweeney, it was reported early this morning that the Patriots and head coach Bill Belichick are expected to part ways. They're supposed to have a press conference with him and Robert Kraft later on this afternoon. So the end of an era, greatest run in NFL head coaching history, Bill Belichick. And this comes a day after Nick Saban announces he is retiring from Alabama. Pete Carroll is stepping down as head coach from the Seattle Seahawks, but is expected to remain within the organization in some capacity. It's just a tidal wave of change and end of just some of the greatest coaching runs in football history in the last 24 hours. It's just been absolutely crazy to watch.
Yeah, it's a strange few days, I think, just for the game of football in a lot of ways. You consider Nick Saban, who's another huge name of the college ranks, right? Like, Alabama has sent a lot of players to the NFL. These are two coaches, I believe. They started together with the Cleveland Browns, then, you know, eventually went their separate ways and had ultimate success, remained friends. And, you know, Saban retires, and a day later, or 12 hours later, you have Bill Belichick done with New England. The difference here is that Bill very clearly wants to coach, I would imagine, Steve, for another 2 years. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I believe it's like 14, 15, 16 wins away from the most wins all time. And so I'm looking at least two more seasons to accomplish that. I don't blame the guy for wanting to do that. But it's, in a way, even though the Patriots have always been considered the evil empire, it's kind of a shame that he's not going to be able to do that with New England. But Andy Reid said this when, you know, he was making the change from 12 to 13, from going from the Eagles to the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's just, everyone has a time limit on what they're doing. You know, nothing really lasts forever, especially in the NFL. And even the greatest coaches, you know, their time will eventually run out. So it's fleeting. Kind of a sad day in a way, but, you know, and I was talking to you about this before we started recording. I think Belichick finds a job, and Mike Vrabel could be going to the Patriots job. We'll see where he lands too, but I think both of these guys will get a job in the carousel. So it does make things interesting when you consider candidates like former Chiefs coordinator Eric Bieniemy. And I also saw that Mike Kafka is already drawing some interest with the Chiefs coaching staff just a few years ago before joining the Giants. So the carousel spins as it may, and we'll see where all these pieces land.
Yeah, I'd be legitimately shocked if Mike Vrabel is not the next head coach of the New England Patriots. I know that on their coaching staff, Gerard Mayo is an in-house candidate that's going to get a long, hard look. He is a hot head coaching candidate as well, who's getting some looks around the league. So I think Vrabel's probably top candidate in New England, and I wouldn't be shocked if Bill Belichick winds up being one of the front runners for this Chargers job. So I think that's something to watch just across the AFC West, as the Chargers are looking for a head coach to pair with Justin Herbert and finally try to turn that thing around. I would not be surprised if they take a long, hard look at Bill Belichick. So I think that's something Chiefs fans should definitely pay attention to.
The Herbert thing has been interesting, you know, for lack of better terms. I remember when Alex Smith came to Kansas City, and, you know, one of the things that was always a storyline with him was just the amount of offensive coordinators that he had prior to coming to KC, and this will be his third system. You know, that's kind of played into the hands of the Chiefs' success, but you feel a little bad, right, in a weird way, for such an elite talent that they had to go through three different systems. So I got to thank the head coach for the Chargers that they're going to get. We'll be offensive-minded. We know Bill Belichick is defensive-minded, and we're coming off a year removed from a season that we're like, he didn't even really put together an offensive staff. So I do wonder if that would go to reigning national champ now, Jim Harbaugh. I know that he has been linked to Herbert and the Chargers. So we'll see. Very interesting position. And, you know, you look at a lot of these positions in the NFL. Some of them are interesting. Some of them have high draft capital, but the Chargers already have that elite quarterback built in. So that, to me, makes it very, very attractive.
It's shaping up to be a very crazy NFL offseason in terms of just coaching changes and things like that. So we'll have everything you need to know to keep tabs on this coaching search in the AFC West at arrowheadpride.com. But moving on to what really matters this week, the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Miami Dolphins Saturday night at Arrowhead Stadium. Haven't quite hit the bottoming out of this cold front that's expected to hit Kansas City. It's expected to happen in the next couple of days. Be freezing cold at Arrowhead Stadium, as all of you guys know. And, you know, head coach Andy Reid, it's always around this time of year when he gets asked questions about retiring. But thankfully, I don't think Chiefs fans need to worry about looking for a new head coach this offseason like so many other teams across the NFL. But we're gearing up for this huge matchup, and the injury reports are something that you need to continue to watch, because there's a lot of question marks for the Miami Dolphins. We don't expect tackle Wanye Morris to be available for the Chiefs. He did not practice again on Wednesday as he's dealing with a concussion. So that's something to keep tabs on as we move forward here. Today is, again, the final day of practice, as they have Friday off, then ready for Saturday night football. Donovan Smith was a limited participant again. Justin Ross returned to practice on Wednesday. If he gets too many opportunities on Saturday night. Kadarius Toney was a limited participant as well. And everybody else on the Chiefs injury report was a full participant. So it seems like, at least on the Chiefs side, they're going to be as healthy as they possibly can be at this point in the season for Saturday night's matchup.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a good thing. They're certainly healthier than the Dolphins. I am, you know, I'm naturally getting a little bit concerned with the storylines leading into this game, because I think, especially in KC, and I don't have a grasp of what folks are thinking nationally, but I think everyone's pointing toward the extreme cold, and everyone's pointing to Tua and how, you know, he's going to have this initial start in the playoffs. I think everyone's pointing to the injuries, and I think we're starting to kind of just be like, well, of course the Chiefs are going to win, but that's just like not how the NFL works. And so I wonder if, you know, Miami is kind of getting a little bit of steam from that. I know that I would. I mean, I would be saying you should see what they're saying as far as our chances on Saturday. And we've seen it too many times in the playoffs. So I was kind of doing the same thing myself. If you listen to the AP radio replay, you'll hear us talking about that. But I woke up with like this odd feeling that maybe we shouldn't be just writing off the Dolphins for all those reasons. It's still a game they have to play on Saturday night.
I totally agree with you. I know with all of their defensive injuries, it's easy to just say, well, the Chiefs should actually be able to move the ball on offense against them and be able to score. But and that Vic Fangio-led defense, just from his time with the Denver Broncos, like, Fangio knows the Chiefs offense pretty well and has seen a lot of this Chiefs offense over the years. So it's still not a matchup you should totally sleep on. And we've seen this Miami Dolphins offense. I understand it's going to be cold, but I think the biggest thing that worries me about this matchup, and really the Achilles heel of this Chiefs defense, if you can point to one all season, is against the rushing attack. And they did not have to go against rookie Devon Achane in the first matchup. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I think that's the biggest difference maker. And, you know, he's been a limited participant in practice all week. Raheem Mostert's been a limited participant in practice all week, but that's not out of the norm for them. Like, they have made it very clear they will rest these guys to make sure that they are ready to play the football game. So I don't think either of those guys is in jeopardy of missing this game at all. And I think, really, it's it might be the healthiest that either one of these running backs has been in the last couple of months ahead of this matchup on Saturday night. So those guys definitely both still scare me on the offensive side of the ball. We can talk about Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and that explosive passing attack, but I think it's really the rushing attack. If they can get that going on Saturday night, then I'm a little bit weary about the Chiefs if they wind up giving some explosive runs up on the ground to those explosive running backs, because we've seen those guys totally take over games for the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, I don't think he's gotten the credit yet. I mean, I know that people who really follow other teams know this, but like Devon Achane, when he's healthy, he's one of the best running backs in the NFL, right? He's got, to me, a little CMC to him, a little Chris Johnson to him. And I just wonder if the Dolphins, you know, kind of with the impression maybe, hey, you know, we're going to try to really feature Tyreek Hill, with that thought coming into the game, just do try to run the football and like make that make the Chiefs move pre-snap and really open up the play action for Tua and kind of attack the Chiefs a little bit differently than we've seen, you know, to try to make it a game. I think it's going to be a better game than people realize. You know, I know the Chiefs opened up, I believe it was a 3.5-point favorites. That number's actually grown to 4.5. But in following this stuff, you wonder about day of, will it kind of come back to more of that 3-point edge for Kansas City? You have a lot of these factors, like I said, everything leading into the game, all these storylines into the game have seemingly favored KC. But I'll reiterate, not to say that I don't think the Chiefs will win, but I don't know if we should be writing off the Dolphins so strongly. Because if they do get Waddle back, you know, they do get Mostert back, and they kind of have all their weapons, you think that they can go blow for blow with the Chiefs, and it's going to be, you know, battle of the quarterbacks, battle of who wants it more.
Yeah, Devon Achane averaged 7.8 yards per carry this season, and had 800 yards, and he only appeared in 11 games due to injury. Like, if that guy plays a full 17-game stretch, winds up with 1,600 rushing yards on the season because he is that explosive. And we know what Raheem Mostert did at 31 years old this year. Like, is a very running back-friendly offense for the Miami Dolphins, and a lot of the focus is going to be on Tyreek Hill's return to Arrowhead and that explosive passing attack, but we should absolutely not sleep on their explosive ground game either, because those guys can absolutely light up a scoreboard. So I think that's my biggest worry ahead of this matchup, and a lot's going to be made about the Dolphins' injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, Xavien Howard did not practice this week. It seems like he is not expected to play on Saturday night. Safety Deshaun Elliott also did not practice on Wednesday. Javon Holland did not practice on Wednesday. But tackle Teron Armstead was a limited participant for the Miami Dolphins. And that's something to watch, because he's obviously their best offensive lineman. That offensive line's also dealt with a ton of injuries this season. And Javon Holland is another really interesting one, because if we expect them to be down cornerback in Xavien Howard, Javon Holland is a very talented safety, and they really need him. And there was some optimism that he was going to be available to play on Saturday night, but after logging back-to-back DNPs, I think it's fair to assume that that's a little bit questionable, but it kind of depends on what his status is today as we move towards Saturday.
Yeah, I think for him, in particular, this is kind of how it was with L'Jarius Sneed last week. You know, I think this is the playoffs, or I should say 2 weeks ago. This is the playoffs. You know, they need that player, I think, especially with all the injuries. I wouldn't be stunned if he went no practice, and managed to play. But I think it'll be more encouraging for the Dolphins if he's able to get a limited practice in. But that's a good point. Just because of all the injuries, you're going to want to have your safety help. And so we'll see if they get him back in the mix. There's a lot of players that are the most important players. If you really dig into the injury report for the Dolphins, Eichenberg, Achane, we mentioned, Mostert, Tyreek, Waddle, and Jalen Ramsey, all limited. And so these guys are bumps and bruises and banged up a little bit, but all are expected to go. But you can see that the Dolphins are taking it easy on them this week.
Yeah, it's still the NFL playoffs, and I don't think you should sleep on anybody in a postseason matchup. I think anything can happen in the playoffs, and Chiefs are going to need to show up on Saturday and not turn the football over and try to capitalize on some of those injuries, because I don't think this is just going to be a walk in the park matchup. Like, they need the Chiefs defense to show up with their A game. And I think an underrated part of this, and this is something I've been talking about for, I think, the last like month and a half or so, Pete, and you can tell me if you agree with this, but I think over the back half of the season, we really saw the Chiefs defense slow down a bit, and maybe some of that was being banged up. But we really saw them, and it started with the first matchup against the Raiders, and I think kind of carried over through the end of the regular season, where the defense seemingly had these slow starts where it seemed like they were really struggling to adjust to what opposing offenses were doing. There was a lot of quick passing attack, a lot of just kind of trying to exploit the Chiefs blitzing and things like that and get the ball out quick. And a lot of teams were finding success, and then the Chiefs would kind of settle in and adjust as the game went on, and they'd look like that elite defense that we know that they are. But some of that is me kind of believing that, you know, Spags is kind of holding things back for the playoffs. And I think that's just as important as these players showing up and making plays and being healthy at this time of the year. I think the Chiefs really need an A game from defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. And I am hoping that I'm correct in the fact that he was holding some things back for the playoffs and that we're really going to get his best performance on Saturday night in their first playoff matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm completely with you. I think the defense is rearing ready to go. Just talking to Steve Spagnuolo, he really respects what the Dolphins brings to the table. And it is an advantage, just the fact that the Chiefs were able to get so many pieces back. We did learn that Brian Cook is likely not going to come back for the postseason, but as far as the rest of, you know, your starters go, you got to be feeling pretty good. Chris Jones is coming off the performance of a lifetime, managing 12 pressures and 31 rushes is ridiculous. Anyone who signs Chris Jones to another contract should certainly build incentives into it. But I think you realize that this is going to be a defensive first effort, and we did a story about it on arrowheadpride.com yesterday. Just the change of identity of Patrick Mahomes accepting, like, okay, you know, maybe if it's fourth and short, we don't have the firepower to go for it maybe around midfield like we did in the past, but we feel pretty damn good about Tommy Townsend pinning him back within the 10 and getting the ball back in three or four plays. And so that's a new identity of the Chiefs. It took a long time, I think, for them to, like, lean into that aspect of this defense first team, and now that they have, I think anything is possible. You know, it might be one of those teams that are like a little bit more, let's say, Steeler-like than Cowboy-like, where you're grinding it out a little bit more in the playoffs until you get to the offseason and Brett Veach can load up as far as weapons go for Patrick Mahomes.
Hey man, if we get a playoff performance where Isaiah Pacheco has 20 carries, I would be very happy about that. And no turnovers. That's really all I care about as well on Saturday night. But he's Pete Sweeney. You can follow him on Twitter at PG Sweeney. I'm Steven Sertz, where you can find me. Again, we'll hear from Andy Reid later on this afternoon as the Chiefs wrap up their practice week, get a final injury report. So make sure you're on the lookout for that on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network and the latest injury updates on Arrowhead Pride. com. Me and Pete will be back tomorrow morning with a live edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report, taking your questions, kind of gauging the atmosphere and how we're feeling ahead of this Saturday night matchup against the Miami Dolphins. We'll talk to you guys then.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. It's obviously an exciting time as the Chiefs enter this season looking to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champs in nearly 20 years. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. In the offseason, the party won't stop. We'll still be covering the biggest stories, and all the offseason's twists and turns will show up in your inbox on a regular basis. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.